Hi, this is Cody Miller from Canaan Baptist Church. It's an honor to be on the radio this morning. It's a privilege to be on here and be able to share God's Word with you. We're going to be in the book of Daniel this morning in chapter 3, some very familiar scriptures. I want to look at a few things this morning, some things that God showed me, some things God's helped me with, and maybe some things God's going to help you with. I pray if you're driving this morning that you be attentive and listen and that you apply it to your life. Let God do a work for you. The Bible says in chapter 1 in verse 3 that Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. We're very familiar story. We know about the image and what it represented, but one thing I want you to notice here, that this image of gold, it was a center point of unity here, where the Nebuchadnezzar was trying to bring together all these different people and make all these different people bow down. And we see that the devil, that's not nothing new to the devil. The devil's done it since then and before then, and he's still doing it today. But as it says that in the province of Babylon, then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Again, we see where the bringing together is there. And you look, and some things that I think about this gold image, and I was kind of thinking about it today as I was looking over these verses, but you notice in a lot of secular religions, a lot of religions from other countries, you take Buddha, you take Buddhism, China, any Chinese religion, so to speak, you look at that statue of Buddha, and what do you see? He's gold. Now, y'all might call me backslid, but I enjoy a good Chinese restaurant every now and then. And every time I've been in there, what do you see right when you walk in the door? You see an image of gold, a little fat bald man, but it's golden. You look at a mosque, and you look at a gold dome, and you look at a Catholic church or a cathedral, and you look at these priests and the Pope, and you look at the Vatican, and you see all these graven gold images everywhere. And you can't help but see with that image where Nebuchadnezzar was trying to bring together, you see the millions. You see the millions that are flocking together over these religions. And you get thinking, what about the Catholics will say, well, what about Jesus on the cross? We've got a gold cross with a little gold Jesus that's on the cross representing Him dying, that He's on the cross. Well, can I say that my Jesus is not on the cross anymore? My Jesus doesn't, I don't need a picture of Jesus hanging on a cross that I wear around my neck or that I put on the front of my Cadillac or wherever you want to put it. You hear it all day. Well, I've got my Jesus piece. I've got that. No, sir. No, sir, my Jesus died on that cross, was put in a tomb, and rose again, and died on that cross, and His blood was shed. But when His blood was shed and He rose again, hey, He done that to save us from our sins. Amen. If He was still on the cross this morning, we'd all still be living under the law.
That's it.
We don't need that stuff. But you see the similarities there in that image. You can't help but put all that together. I tell you, brother Josh, I don't even like the gold on an American flag that you sometimes see. I don't like it. It just has just that feel of worldliness all over it. And I mean, that might just be me on some of them things, but I'm telling you, you cannot deny the similarities. But you see, not only with that image right there, but as we read in verse 3, as it says the princes, and we also saw in verse 2, but the princes and the governors and the captains and the judges, the treasurers, the counselors and the sheriffs and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. You see right here, you have everybody that's anybody. Everybody that's anybody is here. And you you see in today is, as we go on, all these different people that are gathered together under the same umbrella of, quote, religion, unquote. You see all these people, and all we hear about nowadays is this coexist. Let's coexist. Let's all get together. Let's all get under this image. Let's all get under this golden image. And you say, well, it might not be a literal golden image today. It might not be a literal thing today, but you can't help but see these similarities. I don't think I'm wrong to put these together. But you see them all gathering together. We all try to coexist. And if you don't, then the world shuns you away. You got to have a bumper sticker on your car that you got to be okay with. You got to be okay with the Jews. You got to be okay with a Muslim. You got to be okay with a Catholic. You got to be okay with a Buddhist. You got to be okay with all that. And you need to embrace all that. And we all need to come together, and we all need to unify under this golden image that the world has set up, this image that the devil has set up in America and throughout the world. And if you don't, then you're offensive. If you don't, you're offending somebody, and you're hurting someone's feelings, and you're just an awful person, and you're a bigot, and you're a racist, and you're all these things. And none of it even makes sense. But you see that similarity there. But anyways, we see that everybody that's anybody was there. And you look at all these mega churches today. You look at all this prosperity gospel that's being preached, and you think about all the people that are involved in those things. Tell me if I'm wrong, but let's look at Hollywood for just a second. How many people that are in Hollywood or in the music industry or anybody that's famous in any sort whatsoever, they're either Catholic, they're either Muslim, they're atheist, are there in some giant prosperity mega church, make billions of dollars a year, some kind of cult? When is the last famous person you know that was an independent, premillennial, fundamental, Bible-believing, King James Bible-only Baptist? I ain't never seen them. I ain't never seen them. Well, they might have a touch of some truth on them. They might have a little bit of something, and yeah, they did. They might have given to this charity, and they might have mentioned God, and they pray before they ate, and they stood up for the flag, and they didn't kneel. And you can look at little things like that. But how many do you know that are true Bible believing Christians? I'm talking about the King James Bible. I'm talking about God's Word. You won't find it. You just won't find it. But anyways, you see that, these famous, important people right here bowing to this image. But as we read on in verse 5, you'll see that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down in worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. Therefore, at the time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, and all of the people, the nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now, let's look at that for just a second. We talked about this coexist thing and all these different people coming together under this image. And you think in your mind, all these different religions and all these worldly secular religions and things that the devil set up, they all contradict each other. You can't have coexist without contradict. That's the only way that you can't. You just can't do it. Well, you look at that and you say, well, how are all these people coming? How does a Muslim get along with a Catholic? They don't line up. How does a megachurch member get along with a Buddhist? They don't line up. What brings them together? Yeah, they're all there at that golden image. You've got the golden image. But what do we see right here? What's been mentioned already? In verse 5, we saw these instruments. In verse 7, we saw these instruments. If you read on down to verse 15, it says, "Now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of what? The cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made." There's music. Now, I'll say, God didn't bless me with any musical talent whatsoever. I cannot play any instrument. It's probably good because there's no telling what I would have done if I would have been able to play an instrument, Brother Josh. I can barely find a radio station that don't have static on it. But you can't help but see this right here. Or you say, well, what do you mean? What do you mean? Well, okay, let's think about it. So you've got all these people sitting together and none of their beliefs match up, but what all sounds the same? Their music. Now, I'm not talking, when I talk Buddhist and I talk Muslim and I talk all this stuff, I'm not talking about like old school 1600s Buddhist and monks and things of that nature. I'm talking about the world we live in today. What do they all get around? They all get around the same beat. They get around the same music. They get around the same thing that you can't tell the difference between what you're listening to at these so-called church services and what you would hear if you would have bought a ticket to go to Gwinnett Arena. You get to get a difference of what you'd have heard at Chastain Park or what you'd have heard at the Masquerade. All these concerts and all these things, they all fall under that same sound. You say, well, that's crazy. You can't say that. Because these people are singing for Jesus. These people are singing for Jesus. When's the last time you heard Jesus' name even mentioned in half of that stuff? When's the last time you heard anything about the blood that Jesus shed on a cross for our sins in any of those songs? Now you'll hear this, well, God is love and, you know, He loves us and love, 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 love. He cares for us. We got to care for everyone. I mean, that's the basis of everything that they sing right there. Well, that's all fine and good, but there ain't nothing you can put that on anything.
Right.
That's the craziest thing I ever heard. I'll tell you, I've heard story after story after story, one that touched my heart. There was a missionary, and I ain't going to say any names, but mostly because I can't remember what it was. But for real, there's a story of this missionary. He was off on a mission trip, and him and his kids were there, and there was a service, and he had had this song played after the meeting was over, and they were quote-unquote worshiping and whatnot. And one of the men from the village that they were missionaries to come up to him, and he was just, the look on his face, he looked like he was scared to death. And the missionary asked him, he goes, "What's wrong?" He said, "Well," he said, "the music that you're playing," he goes, "it's the devil, it's the devil." And he's like, "What are you, or it's wicked, it's evil," he said, "it's evil." He goes, no, this is church song. This is music about God." And the man from the village looked at him and said that the beat from the music, the bass line, the drum beat, the guitar, all of these beats that we're making was the same beat to the pagan gods, the way that they would worship there. It's the same tune. And you say, well, it's all in the way you use it. No, I'm afraid it's not. Just because you don't think you're doing something wrong don't mean that something's not wrong. If I'm doing 70 miles an hour in a 45 mile per hour speed zone, just because I didn't know it was 70 miles an hour don't mean that I wasn't doing 70 miles an hour. It's the same thing. What wrong is wrong, whether you know it or not. Ignorance of the law is not an excuse. Trust me, I've tried it. It don't work. They will still write you a ticket. But you look at all this stuff, and it's a rabbit here that's being ran, but we're going to chase it down for a second because it's something that's dear to my heart. One of the hardest things I ever gave up after God saved me, it wasn't drinking. Drinking was tough, but God got me through it. Dipping snuff was tough, but God got me through it. Cussing was tough, but God got me through it. You know what the hardest thing I ever had to put down, Brother Zach, was the music I listened to.
Yeah.
Everything, you know, you hear the analogy, you are what you eat. You are what you listen to. You say, that's crazy. I can listen to rock and roll on Monday and still be a Christian and come in on Sunday and sing Amazing Grace and everything's okay. Well, I mean, it don't work that way, but whatever you say, I'm sorry, it don't. And you say, well, what do you mean it don't work that way? Well, think about it like this. You're a Christian, right? You go to church on Sunday. And you've got you've been listening to nothing but rap or hip hop or something along that line. And the more you listen to it, you're probably going to start dressing like a thug. You say, well, that's stereotypical. You can't say that. Okay, when's the last person you seen listening to hip hop and rap walking around dressed like a cowboy? When's the last time you heard somebody singing a rock and roll song and dressed up and looked like a rapper?
Right. Come on.
When's the last time you heard somebody yodeling and dressed like a rock and roll singer? You are what you listen to. When I was in high school and we'd be driving around and we'd be listening to music, we acted like what we listened to. And you say, that's crazy. No, it's not. Think about it. Look back a few years. Think about when you was in school, what music was popular back then. And you look at the world and the generations and how they dressed. When the world was into rock and roll in the 70s and the 60s and 70s and the first half of the 80s, everybody was dressing like that. Everybody had bandanas on and everybody wanted to wear tight blue jeans with flare bottoms. Hey, but when the 80s, when everybody started listening to rap, and everybody started whatever, kids in high school now, everybody looks like a thug.
Right.
The generation, the music affects an entire generation of people.
Right.
I'm sorry, you are what you listen to. But anyways, when you look at this stuff and we're talking about the image. We're talking about the bringing together, and you don't see how it happens. You look at these big Christian rock bands, and by the way, you can't have Christian rock. You know what rock and roll stands for? I'm not going to say it over the radio. Think about it for just a minute. What rock and roll is? It was a term used for adolescent misbehavior in those times. Rocking and rolling is nothing that a born-again child of God ought to be doing ever.
You're right.
Ever. And you say, well, you're just against everything. I am when it comes to that kind of stuff. Because
yeah.
That kind of stuff took a toll on my life.
Preach.
I've heard people talk about drug addiction. I've heard people talk about being addicted to alcohol, and I've heard about people addicted to all kinds of things. But I'll tell you, the only thing that I can really say I've truly, truly been an addict of was music. And it affected my life. It affected my ministry. It affected the way that I grew up. You know how hard it is to try to serve God and listen to that trash? You can't. You can't do it. It'll hold you back. It'll sure hold you back. But you see this coming, together. I'm going to try to get back on track where we're supposed to be here. But you see this coming together of everybody. You look at a halftime show today. What do you see?
Yeah.
What do you see? You see people of every different belief system from all over the country. Let's think about the Super Bowl for a second. You see all these different people from all different backgrounds. Each and one of them hate each other. Nobody in there is anybody's friend. Outside of where they're at right there, they would all hate each other. The Muslims hate the Christians, the so-called Christians. The Christians hate the Catholics. The Catholics hate the Methodists. The Methodists hate the Baptists. All this stuff. And you've got these worldly secular people all coming together. And for that little bit of a halftime period, they're in unison. The image on the stage and the music that it's playing, they've bowed down and worshiped. It's real. It's not a game. It's not a joke. It's not a conspiracy theory on YouTube. It's reality. You can't have it both ways. But anyways, we'll go on. talking about music here, talking about music coming together and all these things. And the Bible, I can't get off of this. We're going to stay right here for a minute. I can't get off of this. You say, well, I just don't understand. You're saying everything other than good, godly music is wrong. You're saying anything other than something that's edifying Jesus all the time is wrong. Yeah, I am. That's exactly what I'm saying. Not because I'm mean, not because I can't tolerate other people, not because any of that, because I'm just telling you what the Bible's told me. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and this is what I've heard the Word of God tell me. That's what I'm trying to tell you to help you with. But you say, what do you mean? What does the Bible call the devil? The Bible calls the devil the prince of the power of the air. How do we hear music? Sound waves. Where is music? Music travels through what? The air into our ears. Think about Bluetooth for a second. How does that work? Am I against Bluetooth? Lord, no. My AirPods are the best thing I ever bought. I can drive and talk and not get pulled over. But I'm telling you, the devil takes these devices. You read about these devices in the Bible, and you've got kids that's got cell phones at the age of 2, and they're sitting up in their room till 3 o'clock in the morning listening to rap video after rap video after rock video after rock video and listening to these words and these demonic things that are being spoken. Back whenever my parents were little and my grandparents were little, they talked about being able to play a song backwards to hear the evils that were on these things. You don't got to play nothing backwards anymore. It's blatantly right through the radio station. You can't watch you can't flip through a channel and accidentally see a video. You say, well, Cody, you ought not be watching that stuff anyways. I ain't but 27 years old. It ain't been long since I was lost and in the world. It's real. I'm telling you, blatant demonic activity. I'm talking about the symbols of demons and lyrics that are nothing but edifying flesh and edifying pornography and edifying alcohol and edifying drugs. And somebody said it, I was watching something the other day, somebody was talking about the steps of rap music. When rap first came out, it was stay off drugs. Drugs are bad. Listen to your parents and stay in school. This was rap when it first started out. After that, the next generation of rappers started rapping, man, we're having to sell drugs just to get by. It's wrong, but that's what we're doing to make it on the streets. The next generation after that was preaching, hey, drugs ain't so bad, that's how I'm making my money. Sell drugs, that's how you're going to get rich. And the next generation after that, the generation that we're living in now, is, hey, I'm doing drugs and drugs is cool. All that you listen to, study it for just a minute. You can't hear one rap song that ain't about drugs. You say, well, I don't listen to rap, brother. I bet your kids are. I bet your kids are this morning. I bet they're not listening to the preaching on the radio this morning. You might know somebody that you ain't even thought about it before. If your kid's got a cell phone, if your kid's got an iPod, if your kid's got any kind of music system whatsoever, they're in danger of it.
Yeah.
If you're flipping through the radios because you don't like what I'm saying to find a song, then you're dealing with it right now. I ask you to be careful. I ask you to be careful this morning. You say, well, all you talk, well, I was told when I was a kid, they said, well, if you're going to listen to anything, any kind of music other than Christian music, it better be country. Can I tell you that's out of hell? Can I tell you that's out of hell this morning? It was words like that that traumatized my life. And you say, what are you talking about, Brother Cody? Well, you've got this whole thing going on. And kids that grew up in church, they can't figure out why they like country music so much. You know what the devil does? The devil takes the same tunes out of the hymn book. The devil takes the same tune out of the red book and the brown book and the blue book. Takes all those tunes. You hear the same steel guitar. You hear the same banjo. You hear the same acoustics that you do in the hymn book that you do on the radio, but what's the devil do? He changes the words.
That's it.
All you hear about drinking beer, loving Jesus, and loving mama. That's what country music will tell you. Country music will tell you, well, you can get drunk on Saturday and come to church and ask forgiveness on Sunday. Country music will tell you that's the way it ought to be. Country music will tell you you can have a good wife at home and run around on her whenever she ain't looking. Country music will tell you to go to church on Sunday. Country music will tell you to do all these things that are against what the Bible says. And you'll live that way. And you'll come to church full of rebellion. And you'll come to church mad at the preacher. And you'll come to church waiting to get outside and pray. Turn your radio back on. Bible ain't never told me nothing like that. Country music is just as wicked as any rap, hip-hop, and rock and roll. You say, well, it's Cody. Brother Cody, what about all them ones that got right? What about the ones that got right? I'm going to tell you, I don't know their heart. I don't got a clue where they ended up when they died. But you hear it all the time, Brother Josh. You know how we grew up, the kind of music we grew up on. Well, what about Johnny Cash? I said his name. I don't care. I'm telling people are going to hell because they're listening to somebody with a guitar instead of listening to somebody with a Bible. You say, what about Johnny Cash, Brother Cody? Johnny Cash's whole life, the whole music career, you've all seen the movie. Where I know we're all backslid enough to watch a movie every now and then. We've seen the movie. We saw the drugs and we saw the addiction and we saw that he turned over a new leaf. That's what we saw. That's what we saw. But as he got older and he got older, and you know, he did all the stuff with Billy Graham and he made audio Bibles and he believed in the King James and he believed in all this kind of stuff. And brother, old Johnny Cash, he was pretty good. But what about this? About 60, somewhere between 65 and however old he was pretty old when he died. One of the very last album he ever recorded, Brother Josh, on his album featured a song. The song's name was 13. If you've ever studied in numerology or you've ever even, if you know anything, you know that the number 13 is a number of rebellion.
Yeah.
You say, well, where do you get that? Well, think about it. Well, think about your child. When they turn 13, that's when the rebellion starts. That's when it really starts picking up, that number 13. And you say, well, what does that mean? That don't mean nothing. Well, it does mean a lot. Johnny Cash didn't write that song. Johnny Cash just recorded it. A man by the name of Glenn Danzig wrote the song 13. Now, most of the people I'm preaching to this morning know who Johnny Cash is. They don't know who Glenn Danzig is. Danzig was the lead singer of a group called the Misfits. Wicked as hell. On the album cover of Danzig's album that the song 13 was on, before Johnny Cash covered it, on the front album was a picture of Danzig himself, covered in blood, standing in the lake of fire, holding my Savior by the throat, Jesus Christ by the throat, in hell. And you say, well, Johnny Cash probably didn't know all that. Oh, he knew about it. You got to pay a lot of money to sing somebody else's song. Yes. Look, study it for a little bit. Yes, he knew about sir. It. Yeah. And in his interview before his death was, this is exactly what I've been wanting to do my entire career. Huh. You're being deceived morning. You're being deceived. This good old boy stuff, you can do all this stuff on the weekend and come on Sunday. It's sending people to hell,
yeah,
Brother Zach.
Right.
It's sending people to hell.
100% right.
Verse 11. We'll go on here. It says, and whoso falleth not down in worship, that he should be cast in the midst of the fiery furnace. You're going to make the world mad when you don't bow down. If you're not making the world mad, if you're making the world mad, you're probably doing something right. You're probably doing something right. You see, it's funny how the world takes this, how the world and the devil, they think that, oh yeah, we're gonna get them, we're gonna crucify them right here, and we're gonna really make them pay for not bowing down. But kids now, outcasts. You see these kids that go to school now that grew up in church, and you see these kids that grow up in church, and they all they do is get picked on at school. Let me tell you something. They might be outcast right now, but there's going to be a time. There's going to be a time at the great white throne of judgment when God reaches down into hell. God reaches down into hell and pulls up those that were lost and stands them before the white throne of judgment and cast them into the lake of fire for all of eternity. You might be an outcast now. You might be an outcast for not bowing down to the world, but one day they're going to be cast out of heaven into a lake of fire for all of eternity. Make the world mad. If your kids are involved in that kind of stuff, I'm giving you the warning right now. You might have been completely blindsided to it. Well, now you know. Look through their phone. Look through their playlist. Watch what you listen to in front of your kid. Watch what you listen to in front of God.
Amen.
It'll help you. That's the message this morning.